Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, that's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. We have our new national champion on the scene. It is the Michigan Wolverines. And to be quite honest with you, it wasn't a surprise. When you look at Michigan, when you see what they did to the University of Arizona, when you see them up against UConn last night, clearly the superior team, even though UConn put forth a valiant effort and deserve all the credit in the world for it, the bottom line is the best team in the nation sits here today as the reigning, defending national champion. It is the Michigan Wolverines. And I'm looking at, I can't say enough about Lindenborg and how he was hurt, his ankle, his knee, at halftime, the honesty that came out of his mouth because of the way that he was looking and the way that he was playing and the way that he was struggling. Ladies and gentlemen, that's leadership. That's leadership. Okay. And if you don't believe me, listen to him here. Play this sound for me, please, from Lindenborg, please. Play this for me.
I feel awful. I feel super weak right now. I can't make anything. Oh, man. you know, I'm trying to push through, obviously, because, you know, it's a championship game and all that. But, man, I'm missing plays that I don't usually miss. I have many opportunities to take advantage of the small defender. Haven't been able to do it. You know, I'm going to go in there at half, do as much as I can to try to feel a lot better and come out here more aggressive.
Well, knowing that you guys have just 20 minutes to win a national championship, what will it take?
Everything, you know, no matter what type of knee pain I'm in, man, I got to go out there and give it my best. I played really soft that first half, and I'm gonna be way better second half.
I can't say enough about it because let me tell you something right now. Lindenborg, the way you saw Michigan play last night, you just found yourself saying, boy, is UConn lucky that Lindenborg is hurt, because it could have been a lopsided affair tantamount to what we saw Saturday night when they shellacked Arizona. But nevertheless, watching Michigan last night, I mean, to watch them start off the game missing their first 10 three-point shots. Their first 10. They ended up shooting 2 of 15 from three-point range, shot just 38% from the field, couldn't hit a ball in the ocean, and they still walked away with the national championship. This is a team that shot 45% from three over its first 5 games in the tournament. So to see them struggling the way that they did, last night, and to still watch them walk away, you just can't say enough about it. Obviously, Dan Hurley and UConn, they missed their first 11 shots from three in the second half. So whatever Michigan was doing in the first half in terms of their own ineptitude, UConn was doing in the second half. But the bottom line is Michigan just looked too big, too skilled, too superior defensively, because they were all over UConn. And UConn still made it a game. I got to give credit where credit is due. I was praying that they were not going to get blown out. UConn. I was praying they were not going to get blown out. And if you're watching my screen right now, you see the one and only Jalen Rose, member of the Fab Five, talk about hail to the victors, national champions. Because it's apropos to hear from him. You look at Chris Webber right there, go blue, champions, respect, love. The Fab Five was in the house. Root for them. Yes, the Fab Five never delivered a national championship. They lost in a national championship game in back-to-back years. That was the only thing they didn't do when they were in college, because they were culture changers. They were clearly the most popular. They were box office every freaking place they went. And they still had you thinking about them as the program. And give Jalen Rose credit where credit is due, because when Yaxel Lindenborg sat up there and pointed out after the Sweet 16 that we might be the best team in Michigan history, it was Jalen Rose that said, come talk to us once you cut down the nets. Come to us when you talk down, when come talk to us when you cut down the nets. Remember, they won it in 1989. That was the team's, the school first national championship when Glenn Rice and Ramil Robinson led the way. Glenn Rice went on a torrid run. He was big time. But outside of that, it was really about the Fab Five and what they brought to the table. And we have to look at it for what it is and say to ourselves, look, nobody's the Fab Five. Nobody compares in popularity, but clearly the best team was the team that delivered the national championship. If you're Michigan this year, what you going to do? Are you going to deliver the national championship? Damn straight they did. Dusty May did his thing, did a hell of a job. Five transfers entered the team, entered the institution after last season when they lost in Auburn in the Sweet 16. You turn around this year, you position yourself to win a national championship. You end up winning 37 games. The three games that you lost was obviously when you were struggling for the perimeter. You struggled for the perimeter last night, which is all UConn could have asked for, but the size was just too big. Yude Mara, he only had 8 points and four boards, but he was just a big, imposing figure. They had six blocks on the evening. Merez Johnson Jr., 12 points, 10 rebounds, two blocks. Michigan only had seven assists on 55 field goal attempts. They did nothing to write home about offensively, but their defense stepped up. Both teams had more turnovers than assists. Caravan showed up for UConn, no doubt, had about 17 points, even though he only shot 36% from the field with 11 rebounds, two steals. Terrace Reed Jr., I'm watching this brother dominate throughout the NCAA tournament, being a fixture and a figure for UConn. And I'm saying to myself, okay, let's see what he does against Michigan. And then I watched him. Next to Merez Johnson Jr., next to Yude Mara. And I said to myself, oh, my God, he looks like Mini-Me next to them. He looked so small. And I'm like, okay, Michigan's got the size advantage. And then Lindeborg is built like a linebacker. So he's going to make his presence felt in the post. And even though he was hurt and stuff like that, still had a key block, still made a couple of key shots, still finished with about 13 points. Give him props where it's due. Today, he showed up. And I remember when he played against Duke, and I was not sold on him. He shot like 1 of 8 from the field. I was not impressed with their backcourt at all. I said, they can't win a national championship. You need guard play. But Burnett, McKinney with that big-time shot to really, really seal the deal. In the last couple of minutes, I listen, the better team won. Freshman Braylon Mullins for UConn, a hero in the Duke game. He only finished with 11 points on 4 of 17 shooting. Made a pair of late threes that kept the game within reach, but he needed to play better. He needed to shoot better in order for them to be able to do something. Solo ball, he needed to play better, all right? But I can't knock them because Michigan's defense was just that formidable. And as a result, they're the national champions. AAA Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I was proud of Dan Hurley, who I consider to be the best coach in college basketball at this particular juncture, getting the most out of his players, et cetera, et cetera. I just think he's that legit. He's that big time. And I'm looking at UConn and to walk into that game, to watch Michigan annihilate Arizona the way that they did. I was just praying that they weren't going to be able to pull that off against UConn. And Danny Hurley had his boys ready to compete. I didn't say play because obviously they were struggling offensively themselves, but they made it clear. If we got to struggle, we're going to make sure you struggle. And they matched Michigan grit for grit. And that is what I loved. Michigan, UConn had a chance. They make a couple of shots down the stretch within the last 5 minutes. This is going down to the last seconds. But they weren't able to do it. And so as a result, we look at Michigan and we say, those are the national champions. And it's very, very much deserved. 888-MADDOG-6, 888-623-3646. Having said that, Glenn Rice and that original national championship Michigan team, one could easily argue, is a better team than this one. That's what I would say. When you compare the three, Fab Five, Michigan 1989, this team, you can't give it to the Fab Five because they didn't close the deal. This team did. So give credit where credit is due. Even though we all know that the Fab Five was the most popular, they were box office, and they were legit big time, no doubt about it. It's just that the Duke and North Carolina, they didn't get it done. It's just that simple. The national championship game, Duke blew them out. In the other national championship game against North Carolina, Chris Webber called the timeout that wasn't a timeout. But all three of them were exceptional in terms of Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose, Jimmy King, Ray Jackson was no joke either. Seeing all of them together, knowing what they meant to the basketball, college basketball landscape, it was special to see. It was special to see. And obviously, you got to put the national champions, the people who closed the deal, ahead of those who did it. Even though we know in terms of box office popularity, I mean, the Fab Five was the closest thing that we've ever seen in college basketball to the Beatles. That's how popular they were. So we got to give love where it's due and recognize that. But people sitting here today talking about who's who, who's what, it's 89, it's 2026, and then it's the Fab Five. That's where I'm at with it. What about y'all? Let me transition to another story percolating in college sports. And that is the hiring of Mike Malone as the new head coach by the North Carolina Tar Heels. I think it was the right move. When I talked about Kenny Smith and I big up Kenny Smith, it was because I'm thinking that Carolina's going to stay in-house as they always do instead of looking outside. Now, I know they inquired about Coach May at Michigan, and they inquired about Nate Oates at Alabama, and I get all of that, but my attitude was North Carolina's going to be North Carolina, and they're going to stay internal like they always do, and they did it. They went in a different direction. I got to give love where it's due and say, hey, North Carolina made the right call. Mike Malone can coach, y'all. Mike Malone has won over 500 games as an NBA head coach. Mike Malone coached the last 10 years in Denver before getting let go last year. Mike Malone has proven he can coach at an elite level because he's a champion. Now, the question is, what's it going to be like if you got a coach on a collegiate level? What's the challenges? What's the difference? Here's my attitude. It's a lot more difficult to transition from the college to the pro level, at least in my estimation, than it should be transitioning from the pro level back down to the college level. And I'm going to tell you why I feel that way. I really, really feel that way because for me, if you coaching grown-ass men that are making millions, eight figures, nine-figure salaries, if you're coaching those dudes and you find success, why would you have a problem coaching younger dudes that allow you to teach the game of basketball? Okay, you're clearly the boss because you run the program and they know they're answerable to you. I know the age of NIL and the transfer portal has changed all of that to some degree because player empowerment has definitely elevated. I understand that, but they don't... It's still college, and you ain't controlling the program more than the coach. You can scratch that dream. This ain't the pros. So for me, I don't have any issues whatsoever with University of North Carolina hiring Mike Malone as a basketball coach, specifically as it pertains to coaching the game, X's and O's, and running his program. I have no problem whatsoever. My question about Mike Malone is recruiting. Can he go and recruit? Everybody talking about NIL, no doubt about it. North Carolina got to open the vault. And they got to make sure that the money that they give is comparable to the NIL money that Duke doles out. Duke's a private institution. North Carolina's not. Like, in all likelihood, Duke's got deeper pockets than the University of North Carolina. We got to understand that. We got to understand that. But with that being said, it's incredibly important to understand. It's incredibly important to know that that's the biggest thing. So if you are a guy, if you are a supporter of the program, if you are somebody that's looking at North Carolina and you're saying, okay, what they going to do? How you going to compete with Duke? It's the money for sure. No doubt about it. But as you as North Carolina needing to keep your eyes on Duke from this perspective, they're 8 miles up the road. Please understand that there is no way in hell that Duke can be the number one ranked team in the country and you hovering around at number 17, 18 and stuff like that. That don't cut it. North Carolina did not fire Hubert Davis as its coach. Duke did. John Shire did. Because this man, in his 4 years at Duke, won 27 games each of his first two seasons and then won over 30 the last 2 years. Went to the Sweet 16, went to the Elite Eight, went to the Final Four his first 3 years, and then his fourth year, you end up in the Elite Eight and you lose to UConn. So we need to understand this is what it's all about. We need to be very, very clear. It's Duke because Duke's the creme de la creme in the ACC. They're 8 miles up the road. You can't have such a discrepancy between Duke and North Carolina. That's the challenge for Michael Malone. You can't have John Shire getting his All-Americans and you don't. Now, I know North Carolina's got two coming in, and they had Caleb Wilson coming last season. I get that part. But Duke, last two National Players of the Year came from Duke. Cooper Flagg and now Cameron Boozer. I'm still trying to figure out how Duke lost in the Final Four last year with this cat Flagg and Flagg and Konkanipal. I don't know how he did it. I'm blown away. How the hell could you lose? But it is what it is. So that's where we are on that front. I want to get into some football before I go to break. Had a conversation this morning on TV that I wanted to bring to radio. And that is the future of Lamar Jackson in the NFL. Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens. Very simple question for all of y'all out there. What should it be? Because I got to confess to you, I have the slightest damn idea. Lamar Jackson didn't have a great year last year. Lamar Jackson was not healthy. We all know that. John Harbaugh is out. If Lamar Jackson wanted him to stay, the likelihood is John Harbaugh would still be there. But that's clearly not something that Lamar Jackson wanted. They brought him into the mix, got him involved. Steve Bisciotti, the owner, DaCosta, the GM, and he had something to do with Jesse Minter being the new head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Former defensive coordinator with the Chargers, a guy that worked in Baltimore prior to going to the Chargers. We looked at Jesse Minter and we said, hey, okay, Lamar Jackson's in. How bought in are you? You got OTAs and these spring practices and all this other stuff. Lamar Jackson out there working out. First time he's ever done that, they said. Cap issues, what does he do? Restructure his deal to shave nearly $40 million of cap liabilities off of the Baltimore Ravens' shoulders. It'll be about $84 million next year, but right now it's at about $27 million. They're a lot better off than they will be next year. Lamar Jackson did that. They lost their center to the Raiders. They lost their tight end, likely, to the Giants. went and joined his coach Harbaugh. What are you going to do if you are the Baltimore Ravens? You got the 14th pick in the draft. You're going to grab another offensive lineman? You're going to grab a weapon at the tight end or wide receiver spot to give Lamar Jackson an additional weapon? To me, it's easy. You go with your offensive line because you got Lamar Jackson to protect and you got King Henry to run block for. It's very simple to me, but everybody may not think that way. Is the bottom line is this. You Lamar Jackson and you don't have a great year this year. What do you do if you're the Baltimore Ravens? Because guess what? It's possible that they may elect to move in a different direction because it's too costly to do otherwise. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.